Here we are in the Congressional Corner with our friend Tim Versalotti, professor, pollster, a guy who knows as much about politics and particularly Massachusetts politics, although all politics. It's great to have you with us, Tim, and we're very lucky to have you. Thank you for being here.
Happy to be here.
Okay, so let's talk to you a little bit about what's going on. One of the interesting things over here, I live in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Of course, I travel over to Albany, WMC. But the interesting question is, I got a telephone call from Ben Downing, who's running for governor. Ben Downing was a popular senator over here. Now he's young. He moved over to Boston. And so can somebody from Berkshire County win in such a race? Or is it like New York City, where you want to win, you better be from the five boroughs of New York? What's your answer on that?
I think the answer is, if you are from Berkshire County, you've got to start early to increase your chances of having a shot at this. And Ben Downing has started early. He is the first officially declared candidate for governor. Even Governor Baker has not indicated yet whether he will seek a third term. There's no term limit in Massachusetts, although historically it has been more customary for governors to serve no more than two terms and step down. We're all still waiting to hear what Governor Baker's plans are. So Ben Downing is an interesting guy. He's got a presence on social media. He has been vocal, speaking out about Governor Baker's performance. Even before he declared his candidacy, his social media profile suggested this was someone interested in building his name recognition statewide and establishing himself as a critic of someone who has been a very popular governor. So he has criticized the state for its performance with COVID vaccine distribution. He has been critical of the state's handling of the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, which is the commuter rail system for Boston and surrounding areas in eastern Massachusetts. He's been critical of the state's management of the Registry of Motor Vehicles and the Department of Children and Families. So he's speaking right to the governor's calling card, which is administrative competence. He's also, though, making some interesting social justice arguments as well. When he announced his candidacy a few weeks ago, he talked about the legacy of an industries in Massachusetts creating jobs, but at the expense of the environment and the health of individuals around those industries. And he was alluding to General Electric and the contamination of the Housatonic River, which is a issue he was very familiar with as a state senator from Berkshire County for 10 years. He is an environmentalist. He does push clean energy. He works for a solar energy company and advocates for increased investment in renewable energy. So it will be an interesting campaign. It's unlikely that he'll have the field to himself, although there aren't other declared candidates right now. There are folks who the press and the pundits are keeping a close eye on, in particular, Maura Healey, the state attorney general. She is in her second term. She's very popular in Massachusetts. She's a good campaigner, gives a good speech on the stump. She's got a solid political organization that anytime you go to hear Maura Healey speak, you can't get into the building until you've provided your email to a volunteer in the lobby. So I think most people expect that Attorney General is not the last office she'll seek, but she's been very cautious about revealing her plans. She has been more critical of the governor recently as well about the handling of the COVID vaccine distribution. So I think a lot of folks are watching. She'd have to give up her position as Attorney General to run for governor because both of those offices are elected in the same cycle. So she is a possible candidate. Joe Kennedy III, who gave up his U.S. House seat to challenge Ed Markey last year and lost, he is spoken of as a candidate. He has not indicated one way or another whether he would run. But both Healy and Kennedy have something that Downing doesn't have, name recognition. They've run statewide. Kennedy obviously enjoys high name recognition because of the family that he's part of as well. And so Downing knows he's got to get out there. He's on the stump. He's campaigning. He's raising his social media profile. And this far out, that's what you need to do to at least get on the radar of voters before they pick a nominee, either at the Democratic state convention in June of 2022, or if there's a contested primary in September of that year.
So how are Senators Warren and Markey enjoying the Democratic administration and Democratic Senate? Obviously, they have a little more power than they used to have.
Yeah, they do. They do. And it's interesting to watch what they're doing right now. They are continuing to champion things that they care about that are maybe difficult for the Biden administration to pull off right now. Student loan debt forgiveness in particular is an important issue to Elizabeth Warren, and the $15 minimum wage, raising the federal minimum wage to $15 is important to both Warren and Markey. But they will use their positions in the Senate for other causes as well. Warren in particular has gotten a seat on the Senate Finance Committee, which handles tax legislation. And one of her major policy goals when she ran for president was a wealth tax on amounts over $50 million. And she has said that she is going to be pushing for that in the Senate Finance Committee as well. This is one of these policies that may not happen overnight, that it may take successive sessions of Congress, but she now has a platform in the Senate to push that forward. The Senate Finance Committee also deals with healthcare, deals with trade policy, so she'll have a useful position to pursue a lot of issues that are of interest to her. Ed Markey is sitting on the Foreign Relations Committee, and he chairs the subcommittee on East Asia, the Pacific, and international cybersecurity policy. And that cybersecurity area is an area that Markey has done some work in and has an interest in. And in this leadership position, it will be interesting to watch how he uses it to pursue his agenda as well. Being the chair of a Senate subcommittee is not something that Markey is accustomed to doing because he has been in the minority in the Senate since he joined in 2013. So this is a brave new world for him.
It's always great to talk to you. You know, Tim Versalotti, I always learn so much about the state where I live and vote, even though I do a lot of concentrating on what's going on across the border in New York. So thanks for filling us in and telling us all of this. You are terrific. Thanks again.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.